Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Monday.
It is a good Monday.
What are you guys doing out there?
I participated in democracy today. I did that.
Did you ballot?
As far as you know.
Got your ballot in?
I did.
Good.
Dropped it off.
How many times?
Hopefully it doesn't get burned. Like half a dozen, you know. But don't worry, I spread it out to all the different boxes, so like no one will be the wiser. I am fascinated on where they think like all these ballots are numbered and there's barcodes. Where do they think these are all coming from?
What?
Like that it's just so easy to fabricate ballots. I love that. You know, and it's like, well, you need ID. Yeah, you actually, you kind of do. You know, it's hard. It's why there's never really been mass election fraud. But anywho, signed my name and dropped it off and participated in the democracy of our fine land, even though I kind of know where my state's going. But the local stuff, you know, that's the...
Well, if you don't get your way, you can always storm the Capitol.
Oh, don't worry.
Like you did last time.
Don't worry. I got plans. Yeah, I got some time off in December, and maybe I just rolled out a...
I have concepts of a plan.
Yeah, I once got caught, and I don't remember what it was for. Something with the county or the state or the stupid government.
Yeah.
And I think I tried to forge my wife's signature.
I think you said you signed your wife's ballot or something.
Is that what
that.
It was?
I vaguely remember this story from
you. Yeah, I think that's right.
That's not a good idea.
Maybe it was a ballot.
You son of a bitch.
And it's like, well, she told me I could just do it for her or something like that.
Well, I figured, look, she's the one that voted.
Yeah.
I'm the one that has to go turn it in. I'll just sign it because I can sign it kind of like she does, you know, in like girl handwriting.
Yeah, like, close enough.
And they caught me.
Yeah.
They caught me.
Busted.
Yeah.
So what?
Which,
really?
Doesn't that give you...
How did they catch... Did you just do it in front of them? How'd they catch you?
No, they just... They literally match the...
Wow.
I would like to point out
signatures.
For all the crap I get about my January 6th crowd, there's only one person here that's been busted with election fraud, and it's not me. It's you.
Yep.
And my God.
But I think it's good that they caught me, because... it means that the checks and balances are working.
My daughter took it. This is her first time voting. This is her first time. And so she took it super seriously. She was sitting down.
She voted hard.
She did. She voted hard. She was like the 10 into the fan poll question. She was sitting down and she was reading through stuff and she was bouncing ideas off me. Even like the local stuff. She's like, Dad, what do you think about measure 317? I'm like, you're going to need to be a little more specific on this one, honey. She's reading through. And I tried to give hey, this is what I kind of think is going on here. And there were a couple. I'm like, I have no idea. Couldn't tell you. And then she was bothered by some of them that were running unopposed. She's like, what if I don't like that person? I'm like, well, they're running unopposed, honey.
Well, you can put yourself in there.
Yeah, you can do a little write in. And then it's always fun to see how many people are running for president. Because, you know, you only hear about I guess, I don't know about in Oregon, but RFK is on the Washington ballot.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then there's like six others. And I was like, oh.
RFK, your boy.
RFK was on there, the old Jill Steiner-Rudy, and then, I don't know, there were a couple others. I had no idea who the hell they were. Never heard of them.
I do a modicum amount of research, because, you know, they give you the ballot, or the pamphlets, you know?
Yeah.
With all the people's names and pictures.
Yeah,
I try to give
an honest, honest.
So do I, but it's
tough.
I'm not going deep. I mean, come on. Yeah. If it's got two people for a seat that I don't care about, and I don't know anything about those people, and I can't readily find it out, I don't even vote. I leave it.
There were about four things on there that I kind of was looking into, and I was like, oh my God, because it involved like procedures
well, those are really confusing.
It was very confusing.
It's like vote yes if you think no means yes, but also yes means maybe.
One was like land management and like the process that you need to apply for land management. It was very confusing. And I'm not going to lie. I did an eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and we're going to go with that one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I tried to take it. I tried to take it seriously and participate in democracy.
Look, when you fill out a ballot, especially all the way down the ballot, you realize, oh boy,
it's tough.
It's
and to the person who's
well, because
running,
you think about you doing it, and I kind of half-ass it. Mm. I mean, I vote for the big stuff, and I certainly was looking through the all of the city council people for my district, which is like 15 of them. It's like they should pay me money to have to research all this. But I read through all of them, like, okay, I power ranked them, you know, like they want you to do. But then you think about if I'm even, you know, I'm a decent guy and I'm taking a little bit of time with this. How many people are seriously just freaking winging this?
Whatever.
And, you know, and like lots. Not really voting based on how they think or they're confused. It's just, it makes you think the whole thing's a mess.
Well, I thought about if you're running for like comp controller or sanitation commissioner, like obviously like you're putting a lot of time and effort into running your campaign, but you got to wonder of the several hundred thousands of people that are going to vote, how many of them actually know what they're voting for or voting for you or against you? What sort of minor thing as the comp controller are they going on your haircut? Are they going on, hey, I saw this a sign? Is that literally an ad you saw on TV? How maddening must it be to put all that time and effort for an election and you know that only like 10% of the people that are voting have any idea what they're voting for when it comes to your little specific area?
Yeah, I leave that one blank. What does a comptroller do?
I don't know. I think it has to do with money, but I'm not certain.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
How much do they siphon off? Vote yes if you'd like them to only siphon off 5%.
Well, like there was one, we were voting on the sheriff of Clark County, his salary, but then it was like an 8% raise, but then I was like, all right, it's 8% raise. But then it was like in conjecture or it was like an 8% above another sheriff. It wasn't the deputy sheriff. There was another weird term for a sheriff. And then I was like, wait, is it just 8% or is it 8% more than that? It got very confusing and I didn't know. So I was like, oh, go sheriff, I guess. I figured an 8% raise is pretty nice. I don't know.
That's the best possible option is just not really know what you're voting for and just circle one.
Yeah.
You're filling one. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it'll be great.
So somewhere there's a sheriff right now that may or may not be getting an 8% raise based on me and other people like me being confused.
They're like,
why didn't they just say, hey, he's getting an 8% raise? That part I got. And then there was like a whole paragraph below it that only made me more confused.
Well, they do have pictures. Somebody said they need pictures of the candidates on the sheet. They do.
Yeah.
They have them on there.
Not on mine.
They didn't?
Well, no, not on the ballot, but on the pamphlet.
Oh, like, yeah, not on the sheet, but on the, on the ballot, right. Yeah. But on the pamphlet, they have them in there.
By the way, a comp controller is a senior level executive who manages an organization's accounting and financial reporting. They're responsible for a variety of tasks.
So they can fudge all kinds of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it comptroller or is it comp controller?
I think it's comp controller.
Is it?
I believe so.
I thought it was a comptroller.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think I'm going to run for comp controller.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do they do?
Now I see it here as COMP.
Yeah.
Space controller, but then here it says a comptroller. So maybe it is one word.
I don't know.
No.
I think it's one word. I just don't know how it's pronounced.
Mm.
This is how dumb we are.
Oh, some sort of management position and that person.
Well, everybody get out there and vote. It's almost over.
Yes.
One sleep until we don't have to see any more of the ads.
Yeah, there's no more ads, but this thing ain't going to be over tomorrow. I guarantee that.
But the ads are nauseating. Oh, my God.
I get the ones on my phone are just, they're unbelievable. And then I keep like saying delete junk. Although I will say this.
It doesn't matter.
Ours are kind of lame. I watch a lot of all the TV that I get is from like a streaming box, and so like when I'm watching if I'm watching the World Series on Fox, I can pick what Fox station I'm watching. So they give me like four options. So I get like Fox Los Angeles. I can get Fox like Indianapolis, Fox somewhere in the East. And so when I'm watching these, it's never local. And so I'm seeing all these different ads, and I'm telling you, man, the ads down south are way better. Dude, they are bananas. They got people out there like in cowboy hats and they're shooting things. There was one I saw, I don't remember where it's from, but a guy in the south, he literally shot a ballot box and it blew up. I'm not sure why it blew up. But he's like, this is what I think of like mail-in ballots. And then he turns America, and he shoots it with a shotgun, and then a thing explodes. And then he turns and he's like, Joe something or other for, you know, United States Congress. I'm like, holy hell, they are so aggressive. We're a bunch of snowflakes up here with our ads.
You know what I think they should do? And that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they're way worse.
I mean, they're bad here, too. Like, they're so, I don't know. I think they should make a rule where it can only, you can't even talk about your, the person you're running against.
The opponent.
No, stop with this, because nobody
the
really
smear
knows.
Smear campaigns? Yes. You're not a fan of the smear campaigns?
Well, it's just, nobody really knows what's true and what isn't, and they all lie, right? So, you're not going to lie about, well, maybe you are going to lie about your own platform, but to me, the ads would be more palatable if they just, it's just none of it smear. It's like, hey, I'm Marie
this
Perez.
This is
what I stand for. Okay, thank you. Because I'm guessing she's not lying about that.
But instead,
right?
You get the one that's like, this person wants to see boys playing girls' sports. Yeah. And you're like, I bet that's not the
well,
case.
They,
but
one
like,
of them,
sure.
They have an angry high school volleyball player or something yelling at me. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that poor girl. She has no clue. No. She's a pawn in the game. And it's just, it's sickening. To the point where it's like, I don't want to watch any of it. And then what they do is they get a really bad photo or video of their opponent.
And then they put they put a filter on and they're all disheveled. Yeah. Like they've got like giardia or something.
Right.
And
they're like, or they're
somehow
screaming.
It looks like it was shot 15 years ago.
Or they're mad. You know, the best ad, I got to say this. Being in Oregon, I mean, the ones I see all the time are Bynum, Chavez, Dreamer, Kent, and Perez. Yeah. Like those are the most common ones. And that Joe Kent guy, he did one ad where he talked about he lost his wife and how, because she died, apparently. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, that's good to put in your
ad. Made him human to you?
Yes.
I like it.
And then he's got two boys, or maybe three, I can't remember. And then he talked about his service and what he stands for. I'm like, you know what? That's a good ad.
You like it.
Well, that's him. Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, from my watching different parts of the country, the LA ads are all about the homeless. That's all anyone cares about. That's 100%. It's a lot of shots of homeless camps and people breaking into stores, and that seems to be the main gist of that. In the Midwest, a lot of trans stuff. A lot. They're turning your kids trans.
There's some of that here in Oregon, too. There's some of that.
A lot of that, a lot of the girls' sports stuff, and then down south, it's just a lot of anger and guns. I've never seen so many. I didn't even know you were allowed to shoot stuff on political ads. Like, you just got guns? Like, I was like, oh my God, we're doing this. It's very aggressive. It gets more aggressive the further east and south that you get. It's very, very aggressive. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, I have no idea who any of these people are, so you just get little snapshots.
Yeah.
And there are definitely ones where you're like, whoa.
Not voting for that person.
I saw a brilliant idea on Twitter today, though. It said that what states who have early voting should do, if you drop off your ballot and you get that little I voted sticker, it should come with a QR code that basically blocks you from any more political ads. You don't need them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you're done.
Smart. Well, hey, somebody showed up. There was a city council guy was running for city council. He showed up at our house over the weekend, and he was looking for my wife, not me. And I thought that was interesting because I had already turned in my ballot.
Yeah.
And she hadn't. So somehow he knew that she hadn't voted.
Interesting. That was that's your dream?
What?
What?
My dream?
Sorry. That was.
How are we doing?
No.
Are we doing great?
No.
There was someone on there when you started. There was a guy on there that said I had a dream last night. And I got.
Oh.
I got two things kind of. I got my wires crossed.
Well,
I got my wires crossed.
He showed up to the house. And I think that the candidates that show up to your house, that goes a long way. I don't know how many of them do that, but if you just show up and like put a face to the name and like say and talk.
I remember you saying something about
that. Another guy did. We've had two people show up at the house.
Well, the other person sent the follow-up letter that was wrong about what the transportation or whatever.
He
forgot what they talked about.
He misremembered the conversation, but that's probably because he went to a million different houses.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a million, but you know what I mean. I think that goes a long way for people.
The one I got confused, there was a guy, and it just had stuck in my mind. He said he had a dream last night. He said Robin Zooks were broadcasting from my attic, looking outside, and the world was on fire. And I was like, he says, I'm not joking. You guys need to explain that dream S to me. So I was a little like, what?
Well, I can't explain that.
No.
That's on you, bro.
Yeah. It is a little disturbing, though, that you're dreaming about us.
I mean, maybe we will narrate the end of days for
you. From your attic?
I mean, you could pay us. We'd come out.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? What else are we doing? We're hunkered in someone's attic, like on January 7th, the world goes to hell, so we have to hunker in this random dude's attic
and just describe what we're seeing.
Yeah. I'm a little sad though that no one's ever showed up at my door for any sort of political purposes.
Really?
No.
Ever?
Wow. No. No, I've never had someone outside of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
You know, the people, they're not working, they're not hustling.
No.
You know?
No.
Maybe that's why I respect the person that shows up to your door. Like, that's hustle, man.
That is hustle.
Because I know you're not just doing that just for this house.
Yeah.
And you probably already got this house anyway.
Out there, not, well, and that's what I would assume, like, people that are in smaller races, like, to the person that's trying to be the comptroller or whatever, I'm guessing that makes a much bigger difference because that's going to leave a lasting impression, and there's probably a small number of votes that really make a difference. Or in places like Georgia or Pennsylvania, I'm guessing all the president's people are out there doing that. Because, again, what was it, like 11,000 votes, I think, in Georgia last year made the difference. So, yeah, I'm sure there's some serious door-to-door stuff going on. But for every person like you that really appreciated it, I'll bet you there's a lot that...
Get out of here!
Yeah, you know, go blank
Leave
yourself.
Me alone.
Yeah. It's like you're selling a Kirby or whatever, you know.
Yeah, all right. Well,
and God forbid you show up at someone's house and they're voting for the other candidate. That could get, you know... There's people that
well,
take
isn't that the whole idea? It's
yeah,
like,
there's people that take that stuff real seriously.
Hey, let's talk this out.
I'm not certain I'd be willing to go door to door. Doesn't seem like everyone's in a real rational state of mind right
Let
now.
Let me tell you about
Lace
my opponent.
Lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go.
Got a few hot takes about my opponent. I'd like to read those for you now. Don't shoot me.
Yeah, exactly.
There is hot voting talk. One more day. One more sleep. About that. Pretty exciting.
I just want it over.
Pretty exciting. Or is it? I think a lot of people are nervous.
What an exciting time.
Scared.
I think there is anxiety like
fear.
You wouldn't believe right now. Mm. I got a good feeling.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, buddy. All right, well, let's get to talking some sports.
It's a nice weekend.
Sports is sports.
Was it? What do you mean?
I think so.
Like the sports weekend?
Yeah, that was a nice little sports weekend.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It was fine. Yeah. It was fine.
It's nice college football games.
Yeah.
A couple NFL games. Couple. They weren't close, the ones I was looking forward to, but they were entertaining. Lions.
You know what stole the show in the sports world this weekend?
What do you got?
The headstand.
Yeah, the headstand.
Yeah.
With my Lions.
Where did this start? Where did this
Incarnate Word is where it started.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
No.
So on Saturday, a receiver at Incarnate Word, where Cam Ward, I think, came originally from before he went to Washington State and then Miami.
Yes.
He caught a touchdown and he did the headstand kind of rollover thing and he got flagged 15 yards for it. Well, a couple of the pro receivers saw it going viral on Twitter on Saturday, thought it was awesome, and they replicated it on Sunday.
St. Brown, I mean,
well,
that's St.
Brown's was perfect.
Dude, he nailed it.
And Drake London tried it as well.
London,
wasn't
not
as
so good.
Good.
Yeah.
No, Brown's was like, dude, he stuck it. That's like 9.8.
Brown's nailed it.
Well, if
that
you're going to do that, you have to do it well.
Yeah, you got
to
practice
it. It's like,
it.
You know, it's like a dive. Like, you don't want to look like an idiot.
No, it's impressive.
You have to have good form. And yeah, St. Brown's. Yeah. Amazing.
And more importantly,
that's a really cool bit.
I'm just throwing this one out there. I don't know if you remember at the start of the season, but someone took a $50 flyer on Derrick Henry to win the MVP.
Ooh.
Who's that someone?
Wasn't me. It's not going to happen. It's going to be Lamar Jackson.
What were those odds at?
I'm sitting there right now. I'll pull up the ticket. But look, if Lamar could have a lower back injury, miss a couple weeks, and Derrick Henry could carry this team, might be a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, he's having a good year.
He's having a great year.
Long way to go, though. Long way to go.
Long way to go.
More time for my Bryce Young MVP ticket to pop.
Hey, he looked better.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I didn't watch it. All right, let's get started. We got our poll question next on The Fan. We got a new football's football.
Football is football.
If there's one thing that this show has learned over the years...
Football's football.
Football is football.
Football's football.
And you have to do football.
The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
You do.
Colin Cowherd with a football's football today.
Really?
Football's football.
There you go.
God, I love
Football's football. And the only way to get better at it is to play football.
Man.
Football's football.
It's universal at this point.
Hey, it's football football.
You can't deny it.
All right. Poll question time.
Ooh, I love a good poll.
Okay, today we're asking a Ducks question.
Okay.
Here on the program.
Ooty.
It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Let's first wrap up Fridays where we were asking you what's the play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Oregon -14.5, Ohio State minus 3, Michigan State plus 14.5, Penn State plus 3, right? So yeah. which side is the best side?
Yes.
And the people got it right. 39% said Oregon.
Yeah, just didn't
minus 14.5.
Just never felt like Michigan was going to be in this game.
Although.
And they weren't.
They needed a late tutty to cover that number.
Yeah.
Do you think Dan Lanning knew the spread?
He knew it. It was, remember last year at Texas Tech where they had the scoop and score? And that covered that line against Texas Tech. He knew that.
He did know that.
Because I mentioned him that he kind of wanted the player to go down, you know, because that would have sealed the game. And I was like, well, Dan, there were some of us that didn't want him to go down. And he laughed and was like, yeah, I know. So he's aware.
He knew.
He's aware of lines.
Ohio State minus 3 got 31%, and that was correct. Michigan plus 14.5 against Oregon, 20%. And then only 10% said Penn State plus 3. Poor little Penn State. Just can't get it done.
I have been wrong about a gajillion things on this show. It happens. We're doing it for 20 years.
We're going to toot our own horn already?
I don't want to toot the own horn, but the next time that Drew Aller plays well in a big game will be the first time. Why do we continue in college football? We do this all the time. Because the guy was hyped as a freshman, Drew Aller is not good. He just isn't. He plays well against the Michigan States of the world. Like I don't have the numbers in front of me, but remember last year we went over, it was the three games they lost. Dude, it was atrocious. I mean, it's just, he does not show up. And Penn State's played a bunch of nobodies this year. And by the way, they're lucky to be undefeated or were going into that game with Ohio State. And they finally show up and play a real defense. And I'm not going to say it's like the greatest defense in the world. Oregon didn't have a lot of problems with it, but it's a solid defense. And what happens? Yeah, Drew Aller absolutely no-shows again, just like he does every big game, which is why Penn State never shows up in any of these games.
Doesn't he have the measurables, the
yes.
tools? Like
yes.
he looked like he could sling it a little bit.
I would like to point out in that the only game that's going to matter for them this year up until this date, he was 12 of 20. For 146 yards and a pick. Like, this is what he does in every...
He's like Christian Hackenberg.
He is. He is the same thing as Christian Hackenberg. I don't know what it is about Penn State quarterbacks. We're like, oh, it's this guy. He's going to be the dude. No. No, he's not. And it was one of those... I have a dog in the fight because I'm not a Penn State guy after everything that happened. But, I mean, just from a... Just kind of my feeling as someone that enjoys college football and the analysis of it, I just don't know why we keep trying to make it happen. Last year against Michigan, so this is their losses last year. Against Michigan, he went 10 of 22. Against Ohio State, he was 18 of 42. My God. Like, that's, and those were their two losses last year. I thought they lost three times, but they lost twice. And now throw in, oh, and they lost in the bowl game to Ole Miss, where he was 19 of 39.
You're making me uncomfortable.
He just...
You know, it's weird.
You cannot count on him in big games.
Penn State, you know, I'm a Kansas fan.
Yeah.
Did you know that about me?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I went to KU.
By the way?
Rock chalk. The season opens tonight.
Number one?
Which, by the way, you know what the number one sports sign that it's almost Thanksgiving is, at least in my world?
What?
When college basketball starts.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of people, it's just Halloween ends, and then you move into Thanksgiving. For me, I don't think Thanksgiving until I start seeing college basketball games.
Yeah.
And today, there were college women's games on. Yeah. And then the men, like, Gonzaga, we have Gonzaga-Baylor tonight.
Yeah.
That's like a top 10 matchup.
Last week, I don't know if you remembered this, because I did not. I was flipping through, and... Doug Gottlieb was filling, I think he was filling in for Colin. Or for whatever reason, his show was on. And I was like, oh, it's Doug Gottlieb. And Doug Gottlieb is a head college basketball coach.
He is, but he's still doing his show.
Yeah, it completely threw me for a loop. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember
Where
that.
Where is he the coach?
I think like Wisconsin Whitewater or something.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my, yeah.
Where does he live? He doesn't live up there, does he? Where does he? Is he a part-time coach?
I just couldn't believe. I was like, oh yeah, because I remember when he announced that, I'm like, that is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard, is that a guy doing a national radio show is going to attempt.
He's at Green Bay.
Wisconsin Green Bay.
He doesn't live up there, does he? Maybe he does.
I'm assuming he does now.
Yeah, because he can do a show from anywhere probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
So he just moves up there. And...
Yeah. You just think about all the, like Dan Lanning and how annoying it is to do a handful of interviews a week. Meanwhile, Doug Gottlieb's out here doing a 4-hour show.
I'm cooking on your grill.
Gottlieb's a douche.
Way to go, Doug.
Anyway, what I was going to tell you is Penn State, you know, the reason, one of the reasons Kansas is like 2-6 this year is their offense sucks.
Yeah.
Because the offensive coordinator that we had last year got yanked by Penn State. Yeah. His name is Andy Kolanicki, and he's really freaking good, which is what really puzzles me about what Penn State has going on, is that guy's offenses are really tough to stop. They're really tough to stop at Kansas, and part of the reason why they won 9 games last year, he gets yanked. All of a sudden, Kansas sucks. Penn State's undefeated, and yet they look like same old Penn State when it comes to playing Ohio State. It's the weirdest thing.
Because
he's really creative.
6 plays from inside the 5, and you can't get one in.
It's just
unbelievable. And your 2 best rushers never touch the ball. Like, what?
I'm unbelievable. Like, all
right. Seems solid. All right, go
all
Penn
right.
State.
So here is today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Which era of Duck football was or is the most fun? Chip Kelly era, Dan Lanning era, or Brooks Bilotti era? I had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, some people.
Yeah. They
want the.
Got him back to significance, relevance.
Well, and
or look, they just probably liked it better back then.
And they were knocking on the door. You said most exciting. You said insane.
I said most fun.
Most fun. Well, yeah. Most fun, most exciting. It's Chip Kelly. Lanning's has the ability to pay off more. And I think this is more sustainable.
Sure.
But, dude. If you were an Oregon fan, when Chip, dude, that guy was murdering college football. Like, people were doing extra conditioning to try to get ready for Oregon. He took the world by storm. That was the funnest.
It was amazing.
And it was short. It was only, like, I think people think that was way longer. It was
5 years?
I think it was 4.
Yeah.
It wasn't very long, but man, when it was cooking, that was fun.
So vote on our poll question on X. At 1080 The Fan, and vote hard. I put that up there because I had the thought that watching the Oregon-Michigan game this weekend, that being in the Big Ten isn't nearly as fun as I thought it would be, and these games are trash. And I'd like to talk about that with you. We'll do that next. Uh-huh. Here's Buck. All right, well, look, Oregon's better than ever. They're really good.
Yeah.
Deserving of the number one ranking. And the Chip Kelly era, you know, it was... It was a moment in time. It was can't be recreated. It was amazing. But this team's better than those teams.
No, yes. If those teams played this one, I can't say there's no doubt, but I would feel very confident that this team would beat that.
This one is built as good as any Oregon team has ever been built.
Yes.
Well, and
it's better up front.
It is just, perhaps it's just the year, but the Big Ten is super lame.
Well,
we knew this. Like, we know the style of football in the Big Ten, and it was interesting, the idea of the more offensive West Coast teams jumping into the Big Ten and seeing how that played out. That was interesting.
Sure.
But what we're seeing, and I think it may just be the year, that Oregon is just that much better than a lot of these Big Ten teams, and they would be so the same in the Pac-12 if the Pac-12 was still together. So it's kind of a tough year to judge this by. But we knew the Big Ten style, but I just thought it would be way more fun testing yourself in this, and it's really lame. These games suck. They don't even keep my attention.
Although, to be fair, right, the Ohio State game was... I mean, one of the best games in Oregon history. And you want to talk about being tested. I mean, my God, no pass interference call, and Oregon probably loses that game. So, I mean, that's the definition of a razor-thin margin. You're not going to get Indiana, who may be the second-best team. You're not getting Penn State, who may be the third-best, right? Because Oregon, Ohio State. You're not getting the third-best team. You're not getting Iowa, who would be right behind them. And by the way, Iowa all of a sudden is scoring points. So to be fair to the Big Ten...
scheduling has been... And like I said, that's maybe just part of...
You know, because...
It's part of the fact that it's just this particular year, maybe.
So you got... Because the top right now, if you go through the Big Ten standings, is Oregon... Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa.
And they only play one of them.
And you only play one of them. Yeah. So there may be an element of that. And you know, Michigan is having an awful year. Wisconsin's having a bad year. You know, it's just, it's one of those kind of funky things where if this was last year, we wouldn't be saying that because you'd have Ohio State and Michigan. It would be like, whoa, you know, it would, you know, then.
Well, again. Like I said, it may just be the year. It's just really, and it may also just be the fact that Oregon's that good.
Yeah.
It's just making this kind of boring. But these games, just watching them play, and maybe it's just this stretch of games. The Illinois, what was it? Was it Purdue?
Illinois, Michigan.
Come on.
And then Michigan State was before. Look, but at the same time, if you go back, the Boise State game was, again, white, effing knuckled. So,
well, but that's not the Big Ten.
That's not the Big Ten, but you know what I mean? It's like, Oregon's good, but let's not act like they're just, you know, Oregon has had three games this year where it's like, holy geez, Idaho had a chance at them, Boise State should have beat them, and the Ohio State game was razor thin, too. So, part of this is that Oregon is really good. I think Oregon right now is the most complete team in the country, but it's also the most complete team in the country that's damn near lost two games. So the margin for error is still razor thin, and the rest of the, because of the scheduling, it's been soft. And the other one too is, you know, is it possible that Oregon has, and we'll see as it goes on, have they achieved the level, like, Ryan Day, when's the last time Ryan Day lost? Well, I guess he just lost to Dan Lanning. But before that, when was the last time he lost to a Big Ten team not named Ohio State? He hadn't, right?
I don't think he had.
I think he was undefeated.
Yeah.
And at the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world don't lose to average SEC teams. And it's possible that that Oregon has just reached the point where Ohio State and Bama and Georgia are at, where there's really only two games every year that matter, and everything else, unless you just shoot yourself in the foot, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And that you're judged on that. Yeah. And because of the schedule this year, it turned out that there was only really one of those games.
No, that's fair. And I think that comes back to why I prefaced it all by saying, yeah, I think it might just be this particular year.
Yeah.
But these games are just really, they just suck. They're not that fun to watch.
And there's really not going to be another one coming along, yeah, that's going to...
No, there's no drama.
No.
There's seven of the eight conference games, mm-hmm, complete duds.
Yeah. And Maryland's not going to offer much. Wisconsin's 5-4. I mean, they got... I was reading a thing.
Eight of the nine.
I think Iowa beat them 42-7, 42-10, something like that. Because I read an article... about like kind of like a come to Jesus moment with Wisconsin. Like they're still trying to process the ass kicking that they took at the hands of Iowa. And then Washington, who's not very good. So there's really nothing else besides the Big Ten title game. But whether that's Ohio State, whether it's Indiana, like if you think that like you just are rolling to the Big Ten title game, anyone that watched the Ohio State game will tell you. Now Ohio State's got some O-line injuries, and we'll see if they can kind of correct those. Although it looked much better at Penn State, anyone that was there at that game that thinks that Ohio State is just some sort of road apple for you to win the Big Ten title, I don't know what game you were watching.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not the one I saw.
I don't think anybody is saying that. All I'm saying is these games. I just thought the Big Ten would be much more fun,
and it has been.
And it has really been lame.
No, yeah.
And these games are really not good.
Yeah.
And that's partly due to Oregon just being really good, yeah, way better than some of these teams that they're playing. Some of it's due to their scheduling, whatever. But yeah, they get Ohio State again. Buckle up. Can't wait.
You're right.
It's like the Alabamas and Georgias of the world in the SEC. Maybe Oregon is at that level now, mm-hmm, where you just don't. I mean, it's going to be boring, and
yep,
except for one or two games a year,
yeah,
which I guess that's cool. But
that's what happens when you elevate to a top, yeah, five or six program. And yes, this is like what Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are yell about their fans is they're like, do you guys take all this for granted? Like, you just think, yeah, that we just roll out every week and we just beat the hell out of people. And they're like, this is harder than you realize. But there are schools that have had to deal with this. And that's like what Penn State's dealing with. Penn State wins 10 games every year, but they can't win these games. They beat everyone else. They don't lose those games they're not supposed to lose, but they can't beat the good ones. And maybe just that kind of comes with elevating yourself to that next level. And if that's the case, there may be some dud boring games, but ultimately, if that's where you achieve, then you're playing in high stakes poker. Now you're getting to where those games against the Ohio States or the Bamas or the Georgias, they're like, oh my God, these are games of the year. And now you're playing meaningful games at the end of the year, which is, again, ultimately what you're trying to do. And so you sacrifice some of the stuff for the regular season to be there on the biggest stage, and you're going to be there seemingly every year.
Yeah, somebody texted the Vancouver 4 text line, said, you know, there was a lot of chatter from Big Ten teams about how Oregon would be in for big shock against big boy football.
No.
Yeah, well, they're not.
Well, but, you know, maybe Washington and USC have felt that a little bit.
Right. That's right. And that goes back to Oregon, just a pretty special team this year.
Well, and
so we'll see if they can finish it off.
Yeah.
All right. Our college football Manny Petty next on the Fan. Well, as predicted here at the start of the season, the Oregon-Indiana collision course continues.
I think Indiana, Ohio State in 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. And the winner of that, barring any sort of weird catastrophe, will play Oregon in the Big Ten Championship. And the rematch of Oregon, Ohio State, sure, we saw that coming. Indiana? What?
Well, like I said, as predicted here at the start of the season, we had five teams undefeated through 10 weeks. Those teams we had were Oregon, Indiana, Miami, BYU, and Army.
Yeah.
Sure enough, we were right.
I don't know if you would have told me at the start of the year who would be undefeated at this point. I'm not certain who I would have picked between BYU and Indiana, because in all honesty, no one saw this coming from BYU.
Well, either. You wouldn't have picked either.
Yeah, but if you told me one of those, I would have picked Army, because you look at Army's schedule. I'm like, Army can be undefeated, but. Like Indiana and BYU, I'd be like, no. And they're like, no, seriously, one of them is going to be Indiana, or one of them is going to be undefeated. I think I probably would have looked at the schedule and taken Indiana.
What, like, if I told you both would be undefeated?
Dude, it's a hell of a thing. And I'm telling you, Indiana's going to make the playoff.
Yeah, they're really good.
Indiana's going to beat Michigan, even if they lose to Ohio State.
Where's that game?
It's at Ohio State. So even if they lose to Ohio State, they roll Purdue. Welcome to the college football playoff, Indiana, which is freaking awesome.
That is awesome.
And I don't care. And I get that Indiana hasn't played anyone, but you can only play who's on your schedule. And like, I'll take Miami, for example. Like, did you watch any? I was
Michigan State.
I was telling Miami and Duke, right? And I was like, keep an eye on that. That, you know, Miami just doesn't, they're undefeated, but Miami does not look the part. They're 9-0 and they're like fourth in the country. Boy, they do not look like the fourth ranked team in the country.
They were losing at half.
They were losing.
They won by three scores, but that game was not a three score game.
It was not a three score game. And they win one way and one way only, because their offense is awesome. Restrepo and Ward, and you kind of forget, Damian Martinez is down there. Their offense is really good. They don't play a lick of defense, and they're in close games, even though they haven't played anyone. Indiana hasn't played anyone either, but they blow them out. Indiana kicks the living hell out of people. So I know it's weird, but I honestly have more faith in Indiana than I do in Miami. Because if you're not playing strong competition, Indiana's not playing close games. Miami is in dogfights because they can't play any defense. And I know the Miami schedule is a little tougher. I mean, they played Louisville, and they played, Virginia Tech. But again, they should have lost to Virginia Tech. They should have lost to Cal.
Who's Miami's best win?
Probably Louisville.
They just beat Clemson.
Yeah, they just beat Clemson.
You know, there were. It was kind of a sneaky. I don't know. It's like a sneaky shakeup kind of weekend.
Yeah.
Wasn't any of the big boys, but A&M lost.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson lost.
Yep.
Kansas State lost at Houston.
Well, and that opens the door.
Iowa State lost.
Have you seen the Big 12 rankings?
Yeah, dude, I love the Big... Now, see, I was just bitching about how the Big 10 is lame, and it kind of is.
Yeah.
The Big 12 injected into my veins.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, stuff happens in that league.
There is a path, and it's a pretty realistic path. There is a path for my Brigham Young University Cougars and your Fighting Deion Sanders to meet in the Big 12 title game.
I'd like that.
With a chance to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah, I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
The loser wouldn't go, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be the Big 12 title game.
Although,
BYU with one loss.
If BYU were to run the table at one loss, I think they get in.
Who they have left?
They've got Rock Chalk. They got Kansas.
Is that this week?
That's this week.
Oh.
They're at Kansas.
We might have to pull up AI Souk Rop BYU Kansas preview.
Yeah, let me pull it up. Or maybe it's Utah this week, actually.
No, I think it's Utah.
I think it might be Utah. I got to pull up their schedule.
The Holy War.
Yeah, they got at Utah, then
Kansas,
Rock Chalk.
And then what else?
Arizona State and Houston.
And
Arizona State? Houston's not any good. Kansas is struggling. Utah, that Arizona State game worries me, but I mean, it's...
Can Utah knock them off?
It's a rivalry game, but Utah doesn't... I'm not sitting here saying that BYU is going to go undefeated, but there is not a ton of meat left on that bone. I mean, the best team they played was SMU, and SMU looks really good. BYU got them.
So Colorado BYU Big 12 championship game.
Wouldn't that
winner
be
gets the 4 seed in the tournament?
Yeah.
Dude, come on. No way Colorado is going to be the 4 seed in the college football playoff. What if I told you that at the start of the year? Like, what's more shocking? What's going on with Indiana, BYU, or Colorado sitting there, or so, Army? Or, yeah.
So Colorado, what the hell? Colorado's,
Coach Prime with a bye in the playoff.
Colorado's 6-2. They got Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and then Oklahoma State.
Do we get them at home?
Yeah, it's at Kansas.
Yeah, we'll knock them off.
I'm just like, and I do think they need Iowa State to lose another game. So look, I'm just like, there is a path. The inside track is not Colorado's, but like, again,
that league is fun.
They are in the mix. There's a lot of
there's
teams
a lot of teams
mix.
In the mix. That's the thing. The Big Ten, there's only four teams, right?
Yep.
Yeah, four, because I guess if you count Penn State, still in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like 15 teams that aren't.
Yeah. And we thought
they don't have a chance.
And like you said, it was a sneaky weekend because we all assumed that the ACC was just a given, that it was Miami and Clemson. Or
now
Pitt.
Who jumps in? Oh, Pitt. I forgot about them.
You know, but Pitt lost. So Pitt's
that's
not undefeated
right.
anymore.
Who beat them?
Pitt went
SMU beat
to
them.
SMU. And so now the catbird seat is Miami and SMU.
Yes.
And how about that? That
SMU in the tournament?
SMU in the tourney. And if I'm not mistaken, the SMU coach was Miami's offensive coordinator who pulled a bunch of players from Miami to come to SMU.
Who is it? Rhett Lashley?
Yeah.
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
He's from Miami. He's doing a good job down there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a fun.
It's the Big 12 is great. And the ACC is.
Yeah.
SEC is fun too, but it's cannibalizing itself.
It is. I really thought. I was
Big Ten's the lamest of the four.
I was swallowing the Kool-Aid for Clemson, and then I was watching that game. That was the Clemson that we saw the last couple years on offense.
They're the
weirdest
team. It is the dadgummest thing. I don't understand them.
I just
what's going on with that?
I thought Clemson was just going to cruise, and that they would see Miami, and then their offense just came out and just.
But do you like the fact that there's maybe some fresh blood?
I do. I think
you know
it's
the
fun.
SMUs and Colorados.
I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
Indiana.
Oregon
to some people.
Yes.
Nationally.
I just think it's fun that there's no, and Boise State, little old Boise that everyone wrote off. Boise's killing people right now. And, you know, they look, if Boise makes that tournament, you think about it. Boise gave, and I know it's a different Oregon team. They figured out their O-line issues. Boise State was better than Oregon.
Oregon needed a walk-off win that they probably didn't deserve.
Yeah, they had two
special
teams. And that's
Boise's only loss to the number one team in the country.
So, like, if they make the tourney, I'll tell you what, and that's my opening game, I don't want to see Boise State.
I wouldn't be feeling
good.
Would
you rather play BYU?
Yes.
Than Boise State?
I think I'd rather play BYU.
Damn. Would you rather play Colorado or Boise State?
Same thing. I think I'd rather play Colorado. The Boise State game gave me pause. Like, they... Normally when teams like that play just physically dominant teams like Oregon, they get beat up. They did not get beat up. The only thing where you saw it was, again, a lesser talented team, special teams and backups, you can see it. And Oregon just has way better athletes than Boise State. And that's all that was special teams play. Outside of that, Boise went toe-to-toe with them. And by the way, they've got arguably the best player in the country. Although Colorado's maybe make the case that with Hunter. So... I don't know. I think this is a really fun scenario that when the 12-team playoff hits, there's going to be new blood. And normally, if you told me that BYU or Colorado or Idaho, or excuse me, Iowa State or Indiana or Boise made the tournament, I'd be like, whatever. It's fun. It's awesome. And you're going to get your ass kicked in the first round. I'm not so certain that those teams are going to get bludgeoned in the first round like maybe we thought they were.
What? Popped into my head two things as you were talking. One is, well, you just pretty much solidified Georgia v. Texas in the championship game.
Probably.
And the second is, imagine if we still had the same race, same teams this year, but only a 4-team playoff.
Yeah. It'd suck.
It would, like, what are we even doing with this four? Why did we have that for so long?
Why did we have
it wasn't even that long.
It wasn't that long.
The whole perspective was different on it. I mean, we'd be talking about half of these teams as just out of the...
Yes.
We wouldn't be talking about them at all.
We wouldn't be talking about any of them.
But yeah, we'd be talking about four or five teams. Yeah. We'd not be talking about 12 or 14 or 16.
Right now, you would be talking about Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Although
like,
that
like
would
the Colorado
be,
and Big 12 stuff just would not matter. Oregon, Ohio, none of it would matter.
Oregon, Ohio State would be an elimination game, mm-hmm. as would Oregon, Indiana, should yep. they play in the Big Ten title game.
Yep.
Right? You would have whoever, you know, whoever wins the SEC is going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
After that,
yep.
and Miami needs to go undefeated.
And we'd be talking about Miami like they'd be the Florida State yeah. the year they went undefeated. And then you're like, dude, you're going to get your
exactly.
ass kicked.
After that, it's going to be a one-loss Oregon this or a one-loss freaking Texas or something.
This is going to be so much fun. When
Yeah, this is way better.
Yeah.
What really are we is. Even doing out yeah. there?
I don't know what we're doing, but it's chaos. And I don't feel...
Go Hoosiers.
Between Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, any of these teams that are the top-heavy teams, none of these are... like truly no. dominant, they can't be beat teams. It's, nope. There's not one. And I think that is fun because it feels like if you make the tournament, no matter who you are, from Boise to BYU to whoever, you feel like you've got a puncher's chance, maybe not to win the whole thing, but to win some games. And that is freaking awesome. That's the NCAA basketball tournament right there. You may come in as the 12 and know that, hey, you're not going to win the title, but you think you can make a run to the Final Four. You think you can knock off Duke. And that is why that tournament's so great. And we finally have some of that in college football.
All right, a little more from Ohio State, Penn State. The best thing that happened that at where was that? Happy Valley?
Happy Valley.
Was didn't even happen in the stadium. So,
do I know what you're talking about? No.
I think you do, but I'll okay. remind you
All right.
when we get back. The college football Manny Petty continues. And then we'll have our primetime stock watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on the Fan.